Colin Struds and I, we got the invite. Well, Connor too, but he was more like it was a Sunday drive. And there's a new indoor karting track at Drive in West Edmonton Mall. It's three floors actually, so you're actually going up and down at different times. Struddy was good, but he couldn't pass anyone. Do you have any tips on how to pass on a karting track?
Well, I have all kinds of tips. But you know, again, you got to have a driver that's able to actually execute them. You know, I could go to Struddy and ask, like, you know, I went out to the local shinny rink, and I was having a hard time playing defense. Do you have any idea? You know, could you give me tips so that you know, I can stand up on my skates? That probably won't help me move to the NHL though.
Well, because that's a fair point, but this is a problem is that I'm pretty kind, and I didn't want to rub and race and all that stuff, so I was on everyone's heel, and I had the fastest lap time the first race, second one, so obviously the kid can drive, but like, you know, is it when you look at those professional riders? I mean, they must be within, you know, an inch or two of finding the line they want. So if they, you know, if a guy in front of you is always on his line and you don't have any more speed than him, how do you get on that inside of a turn to pass him? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, you know, candidly, an indoor track is going to be way more difficult than an outdoor track. I mean, outdoor tracks, you're not really bound by walls. You're not worried about, you know, when you drive offline a little bit, you know, there's a wall that bounces you back there. So if a guy, you know, keeps his cart halfway off the wall, there's no room for anyone to get the inside. Plus, you know, we call that making your car wide. In, you know, with what we do, whether it's in, you know, like as an example, the way you pass in a stock car, like what we do in Pinty's, you know, there's a lot of times where there's just not enough room to get around a car. But there's kind of an understanding that if you're faster than the guy in front, you give them a little tap from behind to let you know you're there. You know, you're really not hitting them, but you give them a little tap that, you know, we say, you know, there's a lot of things we'll refer to it as, but you're basically knocking on the door. If you can give them kind of three taps in a row, whether it's three consecutive straightaways or what have you, and that guy's not going to pull over, then it's kind of open season where you just kind of dive to the inside, knowing that you're not going to make the corner. You'll slide up into the car, knock them out of the way a little bit more aggressively, and then you hope that by the time you get in front of them, that they can't repay you, knowing that your car's a little bit faster. On a real go-kart track, you can do, there's a lot of, you know, especially as the carts get faster, there's a lot of time spent in braking zones. And, you know, it's a matter of kind of moving to the inside of somebody. You just have to wait until you see them lift or hit the brakes and hope like hell that when you slam on the brakes, you're able to make the corner.
Colin Livingston joins us in the Cantorque Racing Report. Well, maybe we'll get you out there and you can show Struddy a few tips. Now, this weekend in F1, teams have to maintain the single engine mode. How is this different? Like, do they have a double engine mode? Is there like party engine mode? What's the different mode here that they're going to use this weekend?
Well, funny you mention that. That's what the nickname for Mercedes qualifying mode was party mode, and they would really only use it if they had to. This year it seemed like they weren't really utilizing it. It's where, you know, it basically changes the dynamics of the engine from the timing to the fuel flow to, you know, how much load you're actually putting on that thing. And basically what it is that, you know, when Mercedes goes flat out, they were untouchable. And really this year, in Formula One is going to go down, I think is going to be known as the year of the protest, the year of the whiner, the year of the bitch or the complainer, because it seems like, you know, Red Bull is really leading the charge this year. You know, they're not able to perform on track. So what they're trying to do is get these other teams, you know, this other team to slow down. And really what they've done is they've shot themselves in both feet and they've put half a bullet through their head by this new regulation. So basically what it says is you have to select one engine mode for the weekend. So if you start running at a lower setting, you run that through qualifying, you run that through the race. What used to happen is you would ask, like, okay, well, if your engine is that much more powerful and you can do that much, you know, that much better with it, why not just run it all the time? Well, your fuel flow is way higher. You won't get to the end of the race. Your engine won't last through the prescribed amount of races. So they basically only get three engines through the year, and then they start facing penalties. So you have to balance the durability with the performance. But what ends up happening now is instead of, these teams being able to utilize these engine modes when they would go to pass somebody, they'd get stuck behind a car for a period of time, talk to the pits. Pits would say, yeah, go to, strat 3, position 7 or whatever their code was, and they'd get a little engine boost until they could get around the car in front, get out of that dirty air, and then, carry back on. What ended up happening on the weekend was the first example of this, and Mercedes is still going to be the fast car. But now, if you actually get up to them, you've got no boost, no extra ability to make the pass. And it really turned into a parade. It was a series of events of a couple of cautions for strange stuff, and then a pretty big accident with the Ferrari of Charles Leclerc. He just kind of wiggled going through the corner called Parabolica at Monza, put his car into the wall, knocked the tire barrier out. It was going to be a lengthy repair, and that just shook everything up, moving away from the engine mode. So all of a sudden, Lewis Hamilton pitted when the pits were closed, which is something I've never seen before in Formula One. Guys were able to work on their cars under a red flag, which doesn't make any sense to me. Lance Stroll was able to make a pit stop, when they were actually able to change tires, go to a different compound, do everything that they wanted to on the car, essentially, without losing any track position. It was a really strange race, but it turned into a pretty cool result that, Pierre Gasly was able to win. Carlos Sainz finished second, and Lance Stroll, who was really nowhere, was able to get his second podium of his career.
Talking with Colin Livingston for the Racing Report. Colin, shifting to NASCAR, Bubba Wallace has announced a pretty big move for him. Where is he going, and is this the tip of the iceberg for at this time of year for people announcing where they're going to?
Yeah, I mean, this is the first domino in NASCAR's silly season. Interesting that both Richard Petty Motorsports and Bubba put out statements within a few minutes of each other, saying that he wasn't going to return to the team. They haven't announced who's going to replace him, and he hasn't announced where he's going to go. I don't think there's a lot of doubt in anyone's mind that Bubba will move up to one of the more competitive teams. The speculation is that he's going to go to Ganassi, because after the Kyle Larson situation, they pulled Matt Kenseth out of retirement, but Matt is 47, 48 years old. So it makes a lot of sense that they'd want, somebody as popular as Bubba, in that seat, especially with, they've got some, Fortune 500 type sponsors there. I think if that ends up happening, then all of a sudden people are going to start moving. Guys are going to move up from the Xfinity series. Guys are going to be jumping around teams, and things are going to get pretty exciting.
And speaking of Ganassi, they've signed 7-time NASCAR champ Jimmie Johnson. He's going to be driving part-time in 21 and 22. He'll run the road and street races, probably going to have him in the Indianapolis 500, I would think. So is he done in NASCAR, Colin, or is he going to be doing both?
No, he is done. He announced at the beginning of the year that this was going to be his last season. He was, kind of right on the verge of having an opportunity to go for championship number 8. I mean, he's tied with Richard Petty and Dale Earnhardt as the only 7-time champions. Richard Petty has the distinction that he put up 200 NASCAR wins, obviously different era, but nobody will ever eclipse that. The only guy that really has a shot is Kyle Busch. And that's only if you combine all of his wins from Cup, Xfinity, and Truck. Pretty interesting. I'm super, super interested to see how Johnson does, because what he's done, he did a test with McLaren in a Formula One car in Bahrain. just over a year ago. He did a test with Ganassi at Indianapolis. They obviously, I actually don't hate. I kind of like to be this guy. The reason, Jimmy is, I would never question his ability to drive, and he's going to be competitive with those guys. But the way these deals work is somebody is willing to sign a check to say that we want Jimmy to be our driver, whether, and we'll find out who the sponsor is in time. At the end of the day, it's going to be really interesting to see if Johnson has the ability to adapt to a race scenario, because having gone from, a couple of, whether you call them aggressive or passive test days to flat out racing, I mean, the guy is truly in excellent shape, so his conditioning won't be an issue. But it's going to be a world of difference from what he did in his test, what he's done in the past in NASCAR. I can't wait to see him on track, though.
And speaking of on track, the Eastern Canada Rodax Max Challenge is going this weekend at Mont-Tremblant, one of the best kart racing tracks in all of North America. Are you racing?
Yeah, it's actually not this weekend. It's about 10 days away.
Okay, sorry, my bad.
Correct. Yeah, so we're getting, we've actually got a pretty good contingent. I'm actually in Montreal right now. I just spent the last 3 days driving a handful of carts out here so that we can be ready to go. But we've got, our young friend Matthew Taskinen's going to be competing. He's already won his world ticket, but he wants to do, he wants to go and perform on a bigger stage. We've got our friends, the Dowlers, are expected to come out. So that's going to be their chance to try and lock up a grand finals ticket. And I'm going to try and squeeze my fat backside into a cart. I'm not running any Rotax category. I'm just getting into a shifter. I've actually had, for the last 2 weeks, I've had my Eastern crew, also known as Alex Tagliani, working on prepping my cart so that I'll be ready to go, come next weekend. We've got a few, tricks and tips up our sleeve, but, who knows, by the end of that weekend, I might be reaching out to you guys to get tips on what I need to do to go quicker.
Well, if you wanted tips on how to get to the top of the podium, I can definitely help you out on that, Colin, because that's where I was this past week.
One
so,
day.
Colin, have fun in Montreal, and we'll talk to you next week.
Sounds good, guys. Thanks a lot.